This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Packer and Durham program, show number 509. There he is, kids. Ladies and gentlemen, wearing his Superman watch brand, I noticed. Tom Luganville, ladies and gentlemen. Uh-oh, wait, we got to get the audio. There we are. Audio's cranked up. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving to both you and your families.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you.
All right. Who's you like in the Atlantic?
Oh, my goodness. You know what I like about the Atlantic is that we're having this conversation right now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's made things fantastic in the latter part of November that we have not experienced, I guess, since the Davis Sweeney era started. But the short answer to your question is I still like Wake. I think they're going to rebound. I think Boston College is reeling a little bit. I don't know how healthy Phil Dracovic is in terms of his overall level of play being what maybe we would expect it to be. I think that this is a resilient Wake team that ran into a bit of a buzzsaw on the road at Clemson versus one of the most improved teams over the last 4 to 5 weeks in college football. And they got hammered in the offensive line. I think if there's a question about Wake when they go on the road this weekend, is are they going to recover in the offensive line so that they can get back to what they do and do best? And that's push the ball downfield, create explosive plays, and try to win track meets. And so the offensive line, it's going to start right there for Wake. If they can get back in order there, I think it gives Sam Hartman an opportunity to be at his best. And we're going to see what type of resiliency they have to recover. That was a disappointing effort for them to go on the road and play that way. We hadn't seen much play like that from Wake all year long.
Tom, if I allow you to be on Truth Serum and represent Pittsburgh, of the three teams that could win the Atlantic, Wake Forest, NC State, Clemson, who's the one team you would like to play? Who's the one team you do not want to play in Charlotte next week?
I would probably like to play Wake because I think that defensively, Pitt would look at Wake and say, hey, we could score a will on these guys. We have an opportunity. If it's got to go tit for tat, we match up very, very well in that manner. I would probably say that Clemson would be the team that I would least want to play. Here's my take on Clemson. This is just me personally. I think this might be Dabo Sweeney's best coaching job of his tenure there, and the stats as well. We're not just talking about a team that has disappointed or not met expectations or has had poor or average quarterback play. We're also talking about a team that has been decimated by injuries to really, really good players. So now all of a sudden you start from scratch and you got to come up with a way to win. You got to find a way to get better. You got to find a way to perform at a high level, even when you're not at your best roster wise. I think what we've seen from them over the last 4 to 5 weeks is a team that's got tremendous depth. They still have more talent than everybody else. And now all of a sudden, they're starting to regain confidence. Those aren't the types of traits you want to play late in the season against a team that's got, I still think, outstanding talent. Even though they still have their deficiencies, they would be the team I'd want to avoid.
Tom, I look at kind of Clemson in that light, in that we're going to find out as much about them for 22 as we're finding out about 21. Kind of the way this finishing kick goes, because we're seeing a lot of guys who are going to be key contributors, quite frankly, next year. We're also seeing some old guys who are also making sure they leave a positive mark on a program they've been fortunate to be part of. I want to pivot here to Kenny Pickett. In your mind, is he the player of the year in the ACC? Is he the quarterback of the year in the ACC?
I think, to be honest with you, it's fair to say that he would be the offensive player of the year, maybe the player of the year overall, and all because of one simple thing. He made a very, very smart decision, listened to the right people in order to make that decision, and it is paying off, and it's paying off in droves. You're talking about a guy that likely received information that he was going to be a 5 to 7 round draft choice, all right, and now is going to be looked at as a top 32 potential pick. And the consistency of performance, I said this all year long, and I continue to maintain the importance of this. Third down, two-minute offense, four-minute offense, three areas where he has been fantastic. I mean, he's just been simply fantastic. And those are going to be areas that will be highly scrutinized by the NFL folks because they are game-time critical situations that solely depend on the operation of the quarterback. And, you know, not to pivot to something else here, but I look at Malik Cunningham at Louisville, and I look at the year that he's had. And if I'm Malik Cunningham, I'm calling Kenny Pickett. And I'm saying, hey, how did you go through this process? What information did you find out? What did you do with that information? Because I think Malik Cunningham could find himself in a position, if he makes another wise decision, to come back. And maybe we have a second coming of Kenny Pickett due to a mature decision and a decision that could change your fortune financially going forward.
Tom, tons of great games this week. I just told Wes, to me, Virginia Tech seems to be flying underneath the radar a little bit. I know we just had the whole Justin Fuentes story and what the Hokies can do. Yeah. I get all that. Brennan Armstrong's been out of sight. Virginia's defense has been leaky at best. With that said, anyway, the Hokies say, guess what? It's our weekend. Guess we basically own this thing. We're going to go win this thing again. Can you see that happening, or do you think this is catch you later? It's Virginia's year.
I could absolutely see this happening just because I think that Virginia Tech, if their kids have any pride and care for the program, that they're going to be a snake backed into a corner with nothing to lose, everything to gain, just go out there and lay it all on the line. Now, can they do it with Connor Blumrick? He was really good on the ground, not so good through the air this past week. I don't like getting into a rivalry game with a team that can score at will with a healthy Brennan Armstrong going into that with a backup quarterback, because you're going to have to throw it to keep pace. And so I do think that Virginia would have to make some errors. You know, I had Virginia 2 weeks ago without Brennan Armstrong, and let me tell you something, it's not even the same football team. They are a shell of themselves,
right?
Because as bad as the defense has been for Virginia, it gets magnified when you don't have the presence of Brennan Armstrong. So I don't think the style of play benefits Virginia Tech here. With the season that we've had in college football in 2021, nothing surprises me in any way, shape, or form. But to answer your question quite plainly, is Virginia Tech going to have to score 35 or 40 points to have a chance to beat Virginia? Probably. Is that likely? No.
Good point. You concerned about Wake at Boston College Saturday, Tom? I mean, the mentality, the approach, the whole, you know, kind of one shot, what you call it, the David Cutcliffe throw the dice type deal?
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice. Got to throw the dice.
Roll the dice.
Cutcliffe style here. What do you see in Dave Clawson's team? I'm slightly concerned.
I would be a bit concerned because he could be bruised off of last weekend. That was a physical beating at times, and in a fashion in which they haven't been in a lot of those games. They've been in a lot of scoring races.
Yep.
They've been a lot of back and forths, but that was a back alley brawl, and they didn't necessarily rise to the occasion. So do you worry about a bit of a hangover effect? Do you go on the road? Is it going to be cold? Boston College is going to be physical, right? Can you match that physicality without allowing last week to bleed into the week and affect your preparation, your focus, and then ultimately your performance this coming weekend? I would be somewhat worried about that, but we're also talking about a Dave Clawson coach team.
Yeah.
We're also talking about a team that is ripe with upperclassmen and redshirted players throughout the course of their career who have been through an awful lot, who've had to fight and scrap for everything they've ever earned. Nobody's given Wake anything. I just think that mentality benefits them. And we'll see from a maturity standpoint if they're able to, you know, stuff that one in the cylinder file. All right, and move on and perform well and perform at a high level against the team, guys, they should beat. They're a better football team, and now they've got to go out and prove it.
Both teams in the state of Florida have done a really nice job in the second half of the season. Florida State's playing with a ton of confidence. Started off 0-4. It looked like it was going absolutely dead south and flush it. Miami was 2-4. West had just finished the game against North Carolina. they were staring NC State and Pitt on the road, you know, right in the face going, man, where are they going? I think both Miami and Florida State have done a tremendous job in the second half. Tom, the Gators are a mess. Mullen's out. I don't know what they're doing. They look lifeless. Florida State's playing with a ton of confidence. Do you get a sense they take it right on into the swamp, win the game on Saturday?
I do. I think it's been a remarkable effort by Mike Norvell and his staff. Let's keep in mind, this Florida team they're playing has been Florida State the last 3 years. That's what they look like, right? You know, they're just going out there sloppy, no personal pride or care for themselves individually or the program. The coach had obviously lost the team. I think ultimately that's why Scott Strickland made the move. But all of a sudden, I think the thing that Mike Norvell and this staff and the kids at Florida State deserve the most credit for is the team that we've watched do what they did in the first 4 weeks of the season. We've watched that team do that for an entire season for the last 3 years. Now, I don't know what they did or how they did it, but somehow Mike Norvell and that staff got these kids to turn it around. I don't know what they used in order to do it, because all of a sudden it's less sloppy, it's less penalized, they seem to care, they have confidence, they look like they're functional on offense, particularly in the passing game. And when you talk about the two Florida schools in the ACC, it's no coincidence that the turnaround revolves around the most important position on the field. Florida State's quarterback's playing pretty good, and oh, by the way, Miami found one too. And at the end of the day, you fix that, everything else always tends to fall in line. It affects your defense, it affects your kicking game, it affects your locker room, your chemistry, all of those sorts of things. And so, you know, I think Florida State does get the win. And here's why this win is huge for Florida State: is you're bowl eligible, and you're leading into the early signing period. Having kids on your campus while you are practicing, all right, I think is huge. I think those first 3 weeks of December, if you're not going to a bowl, all right, you're out of it. All right, you're out. You're solely focused on recruiting. Now, your recruiting is enhanced because you're still playing. Kids are coming on campus. They're at practice, and all of a sudden, there's an energy, there's a buzz, there's enthusiasm. That's why getting this win, in my opinion, is as important as anything for Florida State.
Ah, and you're right. In the minutia of building a program, those 3 weeks can be critical to the long-term success of the next year or two.
No doubt. All right,
I want to at least close my portion on this. I watched a quarterback last Saturday night in South Florida do something that hasn't been done in the ACC in a long time, if ever. And that's another 303 performance from Tyler Van Dyke. You're my quarterback guy. How good is he now, and how good do you think he can be?
I think he's on the verge of becoming a special player. You know, and credit Rhett Lashley, credit Manny Diaz, because that offense has been run with an athletic quarterback going all the way back to Rhett Lashley's days at Auburn with Gus Malzahn. It's also been run with a non-athletic quarterback where you're going to have a guy that's just going to throw it. In my experience watching that thing evolve, I felt like it's never been as good with a guy that doesn't run, but this iteration looks like it is. And you got to credit the coaching staff for making the necessary tweaks to revolve the offense around what Tyler Van Dyke's strengths are, as opposed to Derek King's. And once they did that, all of a sudden this guy started to take off. They've got pretty good weapons around him. There is a lot of clay to mold here, and you've already established the foundation. You're going to have a lot of positive momentum heading into the offseason revolving around the offense, and it's not just a one-year solution. Tyler Van Dyke's going to be around for a while. You have a core principle now that can be the focal point of building your program around the most important position on the field. So for me, what they have found there, his performance, the level of production and efficiency that he has exhibited throughout this season for a young player has been outstanding.
Totally agree with that. All right, before you go, cut right to the chase. Friday night, Carter Finley, NC State, North Carolina, Wolfpack and Still get to Charlotte. Who do you like and why?
Well, NC State has not played well against North Carolina the last couple of years. Very, very concerning to me. NC State's got a lot to play for, potential 10-win season, potential berth in the ACC championship game. It's all on the line. I think NC State is the better team. Problem is that North Carolina's had their number. To me, the one thing that I'm looking for is, can North Carolina come up with a game where they can protect the quarterback? Can they protect Sam Howell consistently enough for four quarters to where he doesn't get beat to a pulp and is able to be as productive as possible? Because, I don't think NC State would like to get into a track meet, although I think they are more than capable of doing so. But I do think this is the year that Dave Doran's group turns it around because they have the better overall team. I really believe that. Now, I know we've all talked about that, and that's always been the complaint about NC State, when it looks like it should be their year or their week, they somehow come up with a way of disappointing. Not this week, my friends. I think Dave Doran's got his team playing really, really good football. They're going to be just fine this week. I go with the Wolfpack.
All right.
Big Thanksgiving plans.
Before I go.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Before I go, do I have a couple of minutes? Or are we in a hurry for a break here?
Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do.
Okay, so I was overhearing your guys' officiating talk, all right, prior to the last break, right? Yeah. I fall more in line with you, Mark Packer, in relationship to officiating, scrutiny of officials, the acknowledgement that it's a really, really difficult job. I'm going to bring something up here that I think is really, really important, and I didn't foresee this happening when we did it, but if you remember the XFL, two springs ago before the pandemic started, and we had total access to the officiating process in-game, live, cameras, mics, everything in the booth, on the field, that gave an unbelievable illustration of the dynamics and the mechanics to go into making those calls or fixing those calls. All right. You know what that ended up doing? It ended up helping the officials. It gave people a little bit of sympathy and a little bit of a better understanding of how hard the job is. And I've always thought with officials, they're so guarded. They want to block themselves off to scrutiny in a game where everybody else is held to the standard, right? Everybody else has to stand at the podium. The officials do not. I think if you pull back the curtain and you allow some of that in-game access, you would have a much better appreciation from fans, coaches, media members alike, because you'd know more about the mechanics. And in turn, you wouldn't be so quick to scrutinize. Maybe you wouldn't be so critical so quickly. So I think there's ways that the officials would allow people in. They would end up looking better as a result. And I never thought about it that way before we went into having that process. I mean, it was remarkable. Now, the one thing I do think that deserves a lot of criticism is we've got to eliminate in college football this reviewing of every play.
Amen.
We can't be having four-hour games. We can't
totally agree.
Get enough of it. Enough of it. Anyway,
totally
that's my rant for Thanksgiving. Let's pull back the curtain. Let's help the officials. They would realize that fans would go, didn't realize that. Now I look at it differently. That would help them.
Totally agree. 100%.
That's well done, Luke's.
Officials are people too, Tom.
That's right. They're like kickers. They're like punters. They're like soccer players. They're people too.
And basketball players. It's your favorite time of year, Luke. You're getting to watch some of this early season basketball, aren't you?
I'm telling you what. I'm starting to get into cricket, croquet.
No, stop.
Badminton.
Just stop.
Badminton.
See, you just blew the whole deal up. You just blew the whole deal
up. Field hockey.
Nobody cares.
No,
stop. Nobody
darts,
knows. We all know you're not watching that. You're not watching any of that. You know what,
Pat? I'm on ESPN 9 Europe.
See, look. I know field hockey. You know what? If you need field hockey, you just come over here to the basement. We'll watch plenty of field hockey. All right?
Do you have a field hockey outfit that you wear, Pat?
No. I have a two.
Okay.
I've got one stick for me.
Yeah, and one hit West with?
And one stick for you. Right here. I'm going to let this be the Tom Luganville North Carolina National Championship. You know, Aaron Mattson says he's got one more coming our way. So they owe us one more. So I got two field hockey sticks, me and you.
All right.
Luke's.
I like it. Yes.
Tell Quade and Keaton and Tennille happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you soon.
I will. Same to you guys. Same to you all. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Have a great week.
All right. Tom Luganville, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Blue Ostrich, a fixture on the Packer and Durham program.
Yep, no doubt about that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, our Wednesday show before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Again, just a programming note, we are not live on Thursday or on Friday, even though you will get a best of Packer and Durham during the holidays. But again, it's Thanksgiving. It's my favorite week. We got food. We got family. We got football. We got great basketball. It's really an awesome week for sports and food and doing all the cool things that we like to do. And again, we're all blessed for it and thankful. And again, if you want to make your Thanksgiving better, you know what? Give back a little bit. I guarantee you. The food will taste better tomorrow. Promise you. Which leads us to our segment, Wes. We tie in Thanksgiving and ACC football. We make the perfect plate.
The ACC's Thanksgiving spread.
That's what this is.
So this is subject association with Thanksgiving items,
right? That's exactly right.
Okay.
We tie in what you love about a Thanksgiving meal and what you love and associate it with ACC football.
All right.
That's what we did.
So let me guess. Turkey is
obvious.
This Virginia was obvious. Tech?
Yeah, it's got to be Virginia Tech, right? I mean, you think gobblers? Come on, there's only one school that comes in mind when you think turkey,
right? Yeah,
Virginia Tech.
That's it.
If you don't believe me, I mean, go check out Lane Stadium. Get you one of them big old 16-pound turkey legs.
Right,
they're awesome, killer. So yeah, it's a no-brainer. Virginia
Man, that
Tech
seemed
and
like
Turkey.
100,000 years ago.
It's all good.
Yeah. All right. Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. The key word there is mashed. What do you think of ACC football with mashed potatoes?
Sacks.
Defense.
Yeah.
Smash it.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming after the quarterback? There's two in particular.
Pitt.
Yeah.
Clemson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Mashed, smashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the Tigers fresh off of putting Sam Hartman on the ground 8 times. Pitt's been terrorizing quarterbacks for a while now with Pat Narduzzi. They both will come after the man. Mashed Ooh. And smashed right there.
Yep.
All right? You get it? You kind of understand the theme, what we're doing here?
Yeah.
All right. Stuffing.
That's got to be Jermaine Johnson.
Got to be.
Right.
Got to be.
Jermaine Johnson's stuffing.
Right.
Man, really? Let's try.
And I know people are talking, it's dressing. No, for this episode, it's stuffing.
Yeah.
Because number 11 on the edge has been doing that from week one. Bam, Sam Howell, how you doing?
God.
Nice to see you. Notre Dame, yeah, that's right, week one. Bam, there's number 11. Hey, this is fun, man. Let's go play some football down there in Tallahassee.
Dude, he's a player.
Jermaine Johnson will make himself some serious coin. That is stuffing, ACC style.
The next item says roasted vegetables.
The key word, Western, is roasted.
No.
Roasted vegetables. You think ACC this year, and I think the word roasted, one thing comes to mind. Duke's defense, roasted. Don't believe me? Just go check out last Thursday when Malik Cunningham came in there under the weather.
There it is.
Went there, he is going to throw for 303, going to run for 224, going to score 7 touchdowns, and oh, by the way, put my feet up for the last 12 minutes. Roasted vegetables this year. I hate to say it, Coach Cut, tag, you're it. Your guys have given up over 50-some-odd points a game down the stretch. And oh, by the way, TVD's coming to town this week. Roasted vegetables. Just saying.
Sweet potato casserole.
What do you what's the first thing you think of with food? Forget player or team. Sweet potato casserole. What's the first thing that comes in your head? What's the first thing you think of?
The taste.
And it's what?
Sweet.
Sweet. When you think college football, ACC style, what is sweet? What is like, man, that was sweet. Every week on this show, we do wide receiver U.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't won it 3 times like a couple other dudes. I'll get to them later. But this Josh Downs, every time he touch it, just looks like, man, he's going to the house.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's a swing pass or going deep against Virginia. That's a wide receiver. You winner right there. Man, this number 11, catch you later. Look at this. Sweet. End zone. So I think sweet potato casserole, I'm going North Carolina. Josh Downs.
We're off to a flying start here.
You like that or not?
I see where you're going.
Now, does that make sense to you
yet? Oh, yeah.
Are you picking up on this?
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
We got another ACC-SEC tonight, too, with A&M and Notre Dame.
That's right.
That's what happens there.
VCU-Syracuse over on ESPN2 this afternoon, 5 o'clock. And Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner tonight. And then Memphis and Virginia Tech late tonight.
9:30.
Fran Fraschilla, Rich Hollenberg from Barclay Center in Brooklyn.
I'm watching that one.
Yeah, that'll
be good.
That's a
good one. All right, it's time to continue our Thanksgiving feast. We lay out your ACC football plate, Mr. Durham.
Yes, sir.
Gravy.
Gravy. It's got to be whoever covers somebody, right? Because gravy covers
you got it.
Stuffing,
you're
potatoes, whatever.
Beautifully this
okay, thank
morning.
Thank you.
Beautifully.
Yeah. All right.
So we're going Andrew Booth, multiple yeah. wide receiver U winner, and going to be a first round pick in the NFL draft. This dude's a bad man now.
Well, the highest compliment you can ever pay a corner is you don't throw it in his direction, and that's basically what's happened this year.
You don't mess with this dude.
They don't even throw it over there, Pack.
No. Well, Wake did Saturday, and he took it away from him. Like, don't do that. That's not a good idea. He is gravy.
Yeah.
Gravy.
He's going to be something
yep.
at the next level.
Going to make some serious coin on the next level. Hot biscuits, man. You got to have hot biscuits.
I could have identified this one. I would have.
You've been pretty good so far.
I could have really identified this one.
Hot biscuits. Got to be one guy.
Slinging it. TVD.
TVD. TVD's hot biscuits, baby.
I knew it.
Thanksgiving meal, man.
I knew it.
This guy has been crazy good. He is throwing bullets, man.
And we're talking about biscuits, by the way, that you get in your grocer's freezer. We're talking about the biscuits in the cardboard tube that you hit the corner of the counter with, and they pop open, and they come out individuals, and you're slinging them.
This guy.
Those are the hot biscuits.
TVD has got
We're not talking
on,
about your grandmother. We're talking about the ones in the tube, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so good.
The flaky ones. Yeah.
Hot
they
biscuits.
Come, bang. You pop that tube. They come out, and you go.
Yep.
There you go.
All right. Here we go. Next one is corn. Everybody has corn. You know, here's the thing about corn. I'm a pro-corn guy, first of all. I am a pro-corn. Every time I take you to Roosters, what do I order?
We get that
pan-fried corn.
Pan-fried corn is real.
I love corn.
There's some butter on that, as I recall.
Salt, pepper, and butter.
Butter.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Jim Noble, he's the guy over
he's
there
the man.
Roosters. Yeah. I think of corn, though, it's like it's stable, right? It's not one of those – it's not going to be the thrill ride, but it's always there for you. It's solid. It's an automatic go-to.
I don't know. At Roosters, the pan-fried corn, and at Blue Ridge Grill, the corn souffle are a little bit more
I
than
get
just
that,
solid.
For the most part, it's not the star. It's like always there, though. You
okay.
need
I got
color,
you.
Great balance, the
sure.
whole deal.
All
so
right.
I think of that for the ACC. Who's the guy that's – who's the solid dude? It's Devin Leary, NC State.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well done.
I mean, we just had Bam Knight on. He said, hey, this guy's calm, cool, collected.
There you go. Corn.
Just makes plays.
Corn.
You know, doesn't have to be the star. Gets the ball to everybody. So, to me, Devin Leary, NC State's corn.
Okay.
Solid.
I like it.
And everybody wants it on their plate. Everybody would love to have Devin Leary.
All right.
Everybody would love to have Devin Leary.
Okay.
All right. One more thing. In fact, we got about four or five more. Real quick. Running out of time. Rolls. Not to be confused with hot biscuits. Those are different. Big difference between roll and a hot biscuit. Rolls. Who's the guy? There's one guy that's been on a roll. Got no love by anybody in the media before the
Sean
season
Tucker.
Started.
Sean Tucker.
Sean Tucker's,
yeah,
man,
Sean Tucker.
He got absolutely hosed in the Doak Walker Award finalist.
Yeah.
Can't believe he's not one of the three. 1,467 yards rushing, four touchdowns. Man, 3-4 is a problem. He has been rolling all season long. So rolls, you go Sean Tucker. Got to take care of that, man.
Josh Macri's going to go home for Thanksgiving. They're going to offer biscuits. He's going to say, no, rolls.
Rolls. Even though hot biscuits are great, too. And none of the eight. There's nothing on this list that you'd say no to.
Green bean casserole?
Green bean casserole. Go ahead. Go for it. You can read. You got it.
NC State?
Go for it.
Perfect balance, top three in ACC in both offensive and defensive efficiency.
Now, are you a green bean casserole guy?
Yeah.
Right.
I like the onions on top.
There you go. You got it. You got a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
Balance.
Yeah. All right. I like that. It's well done. Cranberry sauce?
I'll do this. Cranberry sauce. And I, what was on my Sweet 16 this week, right?
Yes.
Canned. Out of a canned. No. No. I'm talking about real deal. Cranberry sauce. Here's the deal. It can be good.
Sure.
It could be a disaster. People have a weird vibe on cranberry. Sometimes you buy it. Sometimes you don't.
You're right.
Like, eh, I could do without it. Sometimes it's fantastic. Like, it's a pleasant surprise.
Gotcha.
Who is that team? Louisville.
Of course. Mystery.
The team of mystery.
Yeah.
There are times with Louisville, man, you watch them in the half, you go, well, that's a good-looking club. They're rocking it.
Like Thursday night last week.
Yeah, then you get to the fourth quarter, you go, who are these dudes? What happened to them?
Right.
Where'd they go? They are cranberry sauce. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff out of the can. I'm just talking about somebody coming up with creating something.
Okay.
So, to me, cranberry sauce and Louisville football this year are kind of the deal.
All right.
Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not so hot. Never know.
All right, we're going to go pumpkin pie next.
What about mac and cheese?
We're going to go pumpkin pie next. Was asked to go pumpkin pie. Okay.
All right. I mean, I didn't want to get to dessert first, but if you're in the mood, go ahead.
It's pumpkin pie. Can't go wrong, right?
Ever with pumpkin pie.
Right.
And I know some people that sweet potato pie. Same difference. You can go either one.
Same difference.
Ian Fitzsimmons yesterday called the show, goes, Pat, that's that North Carolina boy in you calling it pumpkin. It's sweet potato. I said, I eat them both. I'm good with both. So they both fall in that category.
Right.
So what falls into that category? So pure, so good, always delicious. It's a bunch of them.
Right.
Quarterbacks in this league, right? The quarterback play in this league has been superior to anything else in the country. So pumpkin pie, whatever combination you want, man, you give me all these guys. Give me Brennan Armstrong. Give me Sam Howell. Give me Sam Hartman. Give me Malik Cunningham. The list goes on and on. They've been fantastic. What are you over there laughing about?
The graphic that has a pumpkin pie in it.
Well, that's what it's supposed to. If it was apple pie, it'd be great it'd be
if
stupid.
We had like cranberry sauce. Anyway, all right, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Right.
Right. Perfect combination.
Sure.
Right. We talked about that earlier today.
Yeah.
Right?
This one's easy, too.
Mac and cheese. What's the combination? Pickett and Addison. How about these two? They're on every award finalist. Here's Pitt. They've already cashed in. They're coming to Charlotte looking for the championship. But, man, these two dudes have been awesome.
Yep.
Mac and cheese, Pickett and Addison.
There you go.
There it is. No brainer. No brainer.
All right. We're not quite done.
No, because when you're done with Thanksgiving, what do you have left over?
Leftovers.
That's it.
Thank you.
You got it. So what do you think about leftovers? Still hanging around.
John Patrician?
Thought we got rid of them. No, there's still some left. Who is that?
Well, there's another guy. John Patrician is 7 years into college football.
Well, there you go.
And this guy's also, I guess, in the same neighborhood.
Skowski.
Yeah. Coach Skowski.
Yes.
Yeah. Not James Skowski. It's Coach Skowski.
Right.
Because he was coached last spring. He came back to play. Look at him. He's got Skowski, 10 sacks, man. And 250 tackles in 6 years.
He got leftovers, brother. It's still hanging around. You know what? 10 years from now, we'll go back to Clemson.
Skowski will be there.
He's still going to be hanging around.
With the neck roll.
Whatever. Guy's unbelievable. It's great. So there it is. There is your ultimate ACC football,
dude, you are
Thanksgiving spread.
You're unbelievable.
Got it all covered. Every school was represented on our feast. Every single school.
That was excellent.
Here for you.
Some of your best work.
Well, I think I knocked it out in about 5 minutes.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You get an idea, and the next thing you know, it's on paper.
Well, I mean, you know what I had in my brain?
What?
You bringing back Dewey's.
No, you didn't. Stop
really?
It.
That was my incentive yesterday.
Do you know what I have in
like
the back?
Tomorrow, Wes is going to come back from Winston. He's going to have big old thing of Moravian sugar cake and some donuts from Krispy Kreme. Maybe a couple biscuits from Bojangles.
No.
Nothing.
Maybe next Wednesday morning I'll bring you something.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah, probably not.
Never know. Come in here early. Throw them at you. Throw you two hot dozen.
Oh, I'll tell you what. They will go. Hey, you put a dozen in front of me, they're gone. That is not even a dare.
No, no.
That's an easy W.
You know what we're coming around
that's
to?
That's like Wake against Kennesaw State.
They played well last night.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the week of a live broadcast. And who knows, there may be an appearance of Piper Girl if she gets here in time.
Jeez.
Cause a total disruption of the entire show. Live television with animals.
What could go wrong?
Very well happen. The boys are, my guys, well behaved today. Chester sound asleep on the Roger Goodell chair. Fuller with his man, Buddy Wes.
Fuller.
But when Piper Girl comes now, 90-pound golden retriever.
Yeah.
Our daughter's dog, Piper Girl. Yeah. She comes in here, man, it's a mess. Who knows?
ACC, by the way, pushed over 75% winning in the non-conference last night by going 4-0 in basketball. Congratulations to everybody in the league on that.
Easy wins last night.
Yeah.
Everybody smoked everybody.
Not a stressful night. Armando Bacot, 25 last night for Carolina. Virginia held Providence to 15 first-half points.
They had 15 the first half. Ended up with 40, and Gardner went 21-13 for the Hoos. They beat at – Providence was undefeated, by the way.
Right.
And they took care of business easily winning that game.
8 of 9 from the floor.
Yep.
Jaden Gardner last night.
Doing a job.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the Cavaliers. Let me quickly point you to tonight. We touched on this earlier. 9:30 start time from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Memphis, ninth in the country at 4-0, meets 5-0 Virginia Tech.
Good one.
Hokies have had a propensity. Remember, beat Michigan State and Maui a couple of years ago?
This is a great test.
Right.
This is one of those kind of games. Virginia Tech wins this game. Hey, Duke's rocking and rolling. They're the only ACC team ranked in this week's AP Top 25.
Right.
This is one of those games. I think Virginia Tech's highly underrated. Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
This is one of those. We talk about narrative games in football.
Right.
Feels like a narrative game in hoops tonight for Virginia Tech.
5 o'clock from down in the Bahamas, Syracuse and VCU over on ESPN2. The Bad Boy Mowers.
They're back. That sponsorship's back?
Yeah, from Syracuse. Battle for Atlantis.
There you go.
And then Vanderbilt, Pittsburgh, BU, Florida State right here on ACC Network.
Yep.
And then if you want to stretch your legs late tonight, and I mean really late, 11:30 from Vegas, Texas A&M at 5-1, Notre Dame 3-1.
Good game.
Yeah.
Notre Dame lost the other night to St. Mary's. Is a really good club. Consistently good.
I think Randy Bennett does a great job.
But Bray's got an old team, as he told us at the ACC Cross Country Championships. Got an old team. Likes those old teams.
All right. You know, you're getting together, your family. You thought, you know what? Let's ride by Clemson. We'll get our picture made with the Rock.
It's not there.
Okay. Clemson, by the way, in the East End Zone, is doing a major renovation project. Now, Director of Athletics Dan Radakovich told me about this, by the way, when I was up here a couple weeks ago. You know what they're doing?
Big scoreboard.
Big.
Yeah.
Big scoreboard.
Upgrading Death Valley.
Yeah.
But they're shutting off the road for the most part down to one lane.
Is that Williamson that runs there along the stadium? I think that's Williamson.
So they're shutting the road down.
Look at me knowing streets on campuses.
And so what they've done, for the first time since 1966, they've taken Howard's Rock.
Keep your filthy hand on my rock.
What? Oh, my God.
And it's gone.
Oh, there's a pylon. Is that the pylon?
It's gone. And there it is. Cricket. You know Cricket Stewart.
My heavens.
Former Georgia Tech star. And, of course, she was in the that was quick. She was worked at Georgia Tech and Clemson alum. There she is. There's
the legendary Tim Beret.
And the one and only Tim Beret. And there they are.
With the Rock.
Yeah, they're at the Reeves Football Center with Howard's Rock. So if you drive by the stadium.
It's not there.
And you're looking for that photo op. It is not there. How about that?
Cricket, who worked with the legendary Mike A. Finn.
Yep. And Bob Bradley.
Right. At Georgia Tech.
Good
she worked
people.
With Finn, Clemson, Bob Bradley. And, of course, ACC legend in charge of research for the show, Tim Beret.
At times, Beret will give us a little tidbit, including that one, 1966, the last time it had been removed.
So why in the world are they messing around with it?
Well, Beret, he owns it, apparently.
The Rock? Who moved it? How did it happen?
Tim's got a pickup truck, some good buddies. You just go out there, you dig it
so
up.
So Beret went and got it.
I have no earthly
idea. Okay, we got to find this out.
I mean, you got your man Radakovich has got to know he's the director of athletics. Uh-oh. Live television with animals.
Come on, just push the door.
Open the door.
Push the door. Hey. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Go. Oh, my God. Oh, my. Oh, my God.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Piper. Yes, sir.
Hey, Piper.
Hey, what's up, Piper girl?
Piper, okay. See you later. Jiminy
Wait a
Christmas.
Minute. Why are you shutting the door, Mrs. P? Let him in. No, let him in.
Come on.
Live television.
Come on, Piper. Let's go.
This is how we won two
Come
Emmy
on.
Awards.
Come here, Fuller. What are we doing?
Come on, boys.
No. No, they're gone.
Piper girl.
It's over. Yeah.
Here we go. Come here, Piper.
Oh, look at this. Here it comes. Oh, my gosh. All right. Come on, just close the door. We'll be all right. Yeah. We'll trap everybody in here.
Piper
Why not?
Girl.
Yeah. Holy smoke. My God, what in the world?
Man, this is Thanksgiving.
It's a moving
this,
sofa.
To me, is Thanksgiving.
It's a moving sofa over
we
here.
We got dogs. We got food. We got family.
Piper Girl, what's
Golly,
up?
Chester,
Everyone wants to see Piper Girl.
Chester, what's happened, up, son?
What's up? All right, there we go.
Goodness gracious.
How about that? And you want a cat.
No, I'm going home with the cat now. Me and the cat going to hang out.
Piper
Look
girl.
At that thing.
Woo!
Huh?
Look at that sweet girl right there.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
You know what we say this is for a Piper girl when
What's
she comes
that?
Up here?
What?
This is called North Carolina spa treatment is what this is.
What's up?
Are you going to have like all three dogs all weekend?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You're in.
I love it. The more the merrier. She's ready to go. We got the invisible fence people coming out today, too.
Does Piper great. Have one of the invisible
no,
collars?
No, Piper.
Might want to get that locked in.
Piper can go wherever she wants. Hey,
is Piper going in the truck in 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah. I put her in the back with Fuller. Piper and Fuller in the back. Chester rides shotgun.
He's a big man right here.
Yeah. Chester rides shotgun.
The big man.
And yeah. We'll have to get three biscuits with no butter at Bojangles.
How you doing? What's your – oh, my goodness. Come
Piper
here.
Girl. Yeah, she's yeah, there you go.
What are you doing, huh?
Yeah, what's up?
My heavens. Television? What are we doing, folks?
We're going to win another Emmy.
I've got to go.
This is how we do it.
I got to go.
This is how we do it.
There's no possible way I'm hanging here much longer.
Come on, man.
I get tossed around in here.
We're in the basement with three dogs doing live television. You think the SEC? You think the SEC network's got this? Nuh-uh.
No.
Uh-oh. No. When they say it just means more, it just means more.
All right.
Piper girl.
Don't forget full coverage of Week 13, the final week in the regular season of ACC football, starts on Friday night, 7 o'clock at ESPN, Carolina and State, from over at Carter Finley in Raleigh with Matt Berry, Roddy Jones, and Tiffany Blackman. I really hope Carolina wears the blue, and I hope State wears the red, man.
Well, if they don't do it this year, they should have to talk about it.
Georgia Tech is noon from Grant Field. Bob Wischusen, Dan Orlovsky will be there. Wake Forest, also Boston College. That's on ESPN2, by the way. And the watch party is on ACC Network. But you'll see the friendly faces of Dave O'Brien back from Vegas. With Tim Hasselbeck and Kelsey Riggs on the call from Alumni
Stadium.
If that
watch party thing doesn't work, next idea, just watch people with us with the dogs. How about that? Watching ball games.
Florida State, Florida rounds out the noon calendar on Saturday. Miami Duke is 12:30. Virginia Tech on ACC Network from Charlottesville at 3:45. And then three ball games late night, Pitt, Syracuse, Kentucky, Louisville, and Clemson, South Carolina. And we will be back here next Monday. To recap all of it.
You think Herb Street's got dogs like this on television?
Well, he got Benny. Yeah, Benny made some game day trips. Yeah.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.